Any time is a great time to look at the life of Jesus Christ. We've been studying seven wonders of Jesus Christ on Sunday mornings. And yes, I've saved this one for this day, the wonder of His birth. We don't know when Jesus was born. It probably was not this time of year. However, if there are perhaps millions today that may have a remote thought about Jesus and His birth, and if that be the case, I want to take this opportunity to talk about it. I want to take this opportunity to talk about not only His birth, but why He came. Why Jesus came to this earth, was born as a baby, lived as a man, and then died on the cross. Because that's the gospel message. So I want us to consider this morning the wonder of Jesus' birth. I want to read from Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Mary was a virgin, but she had been selected by God to be the mother of God incarnate, Jesus. And Joseph, as a decent man, Joseph, her husband, verse 19, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And before telling of the carpenter's obedience to the angel's instructions, Matthew inserts this explanatory note. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. It was in fulfillment of prophecy. We find that prophecy in Isaiah 7, verse 14. Spoken 700 years before the birth of Jesus, the Holy Spirit moved the prophet Isaiah to foretell the birth of the Messiah. The Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel, which we have seen means God with us. God with us. He predicted the virgin birth or the virgin conception. And New Testament writers record its occurrence, and it stands as a sign from God that Jesus was who He said He was, that He was the promised Messiah, that He was and is the Son of God. But the fact that God became flesh, there's a term used for that. It's called incarnation, becoming in flesh. And it speaks of, whereas normal procreation results in the initiation of a new being, the means chosen for an already existing divine being to enter into flesh was for the Holy Spirit to overshadow Mary and to form His body in her womb. John says it like this, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. We call it the incarnation. And the primary objection to the incarnation seems to be perfectly natural. Why would God leave the perfection of heaven to come to earth? Why would He do such a thing? In fact, there's a third century critic that is asking the same question, basically. How can one admit that the divine should become an embryo? That after His birth, He is put in swaddling clothes, that He is soiled with blood and bile, and worse things yet. How can that be? He was asking. And people may ask, even today. You see, there's no philosophical argument that makes sense of the incarnation. C.S. Lewis wrote these words: "The second person in God, the Son, became human himself, was born into the world as an actual man, a real man of particular height, with hair of a particular color, speaking a particular language, weighing so many stone or pounds, we would say. The eternal being who knows everything, who created the whole universe, became not only a man, but before that, a baby. And before that, a fetus inside a woman's body. If you want to get the hang of it," he says, "think how you would like to become a slug or a crab." But as those thoughts go through your mind, let me hasten to say that analogies fail when we try to comprehend what it meant for the second person in God to become flesh and dwell among us. I don't think we could ever come up with a perfect analogy to explain that. You see, the only thing that makes the incarnation coherent at any level is not a philosophical argument, but simply love. Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did He choose a lowly birth? The answer we sing: because He loves me so. That's why He came. Because He loves us so much. 2 points, and the lesson is yours. Number one, because He loves us so much, He came to us. He came to us. One cold day, there was a Christian walking down the street, and he noticed that someone had thrown a handful of birdseed on the ground, on the snow-covered ground, to feed the sparrows, to help them in this time of winter. Dozens of hungry little sparrows had descended on it for an unexpected feast. But as this Christian walked closer to these birds, they began to become anxious. And another step, and they prepared to fly away. And 2 more steps, all of them flew away. Well, this Christian stopped and he reflected on what had happened. Why had the sparrows scattered? Why did they fly away when he had no sinister intention toward them? It was not his intention, but his person that had scared them. He was so big. The only way he could have walked among those birds without scaring them would have been to have become a sparrow himself and to fly down among them and share their existence. Again, analogies fail when we make meaningful the incarnation. However, this illustration illustrates in some ways what Jesus did. God is so big. He is so awesome. He is so infinite in all of His attributes. And our response, without really knowing Him and knowing how He loves us so, is one of fear, intimidation. So in the person of Jesus Christ, God Almighty left heaven, wrapped Himself up in human flesh, and became a man. He did it in the most unflattering of circumstances. He was born as an infant to a young woman who was pledged to be married not to a prince, but to a carpenter. And on that first night, placed in an animal's feeding trough because there was no room for them in the inn. But He came to us because He loves us. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says by inspiration: "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself," Jesus Himself, "likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death," that is the devil. Verse 17 of Hebrews 2: "Therefore in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted." Isn't that wonderful? He was made like us, that he might be our perfect high priest, to make that ultimate sacrifice on our behalf, the sacrifice that only he was qualified to make. And to know that because he became like us, and he has suffered and been tempted like as we are, yet without sin, we know that he can identify and even aid us in our difficulties. We may have every assurance that he personally knows the troubles with which we struggle in the flesh. He became like us. Because he loves us so much, he came to us. But secondly, he came to us to save us. And wasn't that the message that the angel told Joseph? She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. That would be his mission, to save people from their sins. If you will, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Do you remember the wee little man? The wee little man? Zacchaeus was his name. And I want to remind you of what happened when Zacchaeus met Jesus. In Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Stop there for a moment. And you recall that tax collectors in the eyes of Jews were considered to be traitors. They were collecting taxes for the Roman government. And the Jews didn't want to live under Roman rule. And not only that, many of the tax collectors, and we presume the same was the case for Zacchaeus, that many of the tax collectors would line their own pockets. They would charge extra so that they could grow wealthy themselves. And so here's Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector, and he too is wealthy. Verse 3, he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. He was that wee little man that couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. And my question for us this morning is, why Zacchaeus? Why Zacchaeus? And the answers we might give, well, he was looking for Jesus. And that's true. Maybe it would be because of the response that Zacchaeus made when Jesus told him that I'm going to your house. Verse 6, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. If I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Was that why Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house? I think the primary answer is in verses 9 and 10. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why Zacchaeus? Because Zacchaeus was lost. Zacchaeus needed a Savior. Yes, perhaps Jesus saw he would respond as he did. And he would respond and want to follow Jesus. But the primary reason why Zacchaeus? He was lost. And it's for that very reason that Jesus came to this earth, to seek and to save that which was lost. And folks, that includes you and me. He not only came to us because he loves us, he came for a purpose. He came to save us. That's why he came. I read about something this past week that was really astounding. In 1944, World War II, Bert Friesen was an infantryman on the front lines in Europe. And one day his patrol reached the edges of a wooded area with an open field before them. Unknown to the Americans, there was a battery of German soldiers waiting in trenches about 200 yards across that field. Bert was one of two scouts who moved out into the clearing, and once he was halfway across that field, the Germans opened fire, and machine gun fire ripped into both of Bert's legs, stopping him. The American battalion withdrew into the woods for protection, and a rapid exchange of fire continued. Bert lay helplessly in a small stream as shots volleyed overhead. There seemed to be no way out. To make matters worse, he now noticed that a German soldier was crawling toward him. Death appeared imminent. He closed his eyes and waited. To his surprise, a considerable period passed without the expected attack, so he ventured opening his eyes again, and he was startled when he did, and he saw that German soldier smiling at him. He then noticed that the shooting had stopped. Troops from both sides of the battlefield watched anxiously. Without any verbal exchange, this mysterious German reached down to lift Bert in his arms and proceeded to carry him to safety of Bert's comrades. And having accomplished his self-appointed mission, and still without speaking a word, the German soldier turned and walked back across the field to his own troop. No one dared break the silence of this sacred moment. All those present had witnessed how one man risked everything for his enemy. Bert's life was saved through the compassion of a man whom he considered his enemy. But as you think about that, think about these words. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10 of Romans 5 says, "For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more than having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." You see, because of our sin, we're enemies with God. We've broken his law and his heart. We've broken his commands, and we failed to do what he wants us to do. We continue to fall short of his glory. And because of our sin, we're at enmity with him. But God loves us so much that he came to us. He was born as a baby, lived as a man, and then went to the cross to fulfill this primary mission, to save us. He died for us, even when we were enemies, so that we can be reconciled to God. There's a song that presents these truths well, and I'm going to attempt to lead it for us. It's entitled, "He Still Came." I want to read to you the words before we try to sing it together. How many of you know this song, "He Still Came"? Okay, there's a few of us. They're going to have to sing up, sing out. But listen to the words. "No palace, no jewels, no kingdom to rule, no crown of majesty, no throne and no robe, no silver, no gold, no courts of royalty. Yet the King of Kings left heaven to become a lowly man. He left all heaven's glory to fulfill his Father's plan. He still came just for me. He still came. Knowing all he would endure, he still came. Disregarding every cost from the manger to the cross. He still came just for me. He still came. No family, no friends to help him at the end. No out, no substitute. Much pain and much hurt to give love and worth. He bore our sins and grief. Yet the hope of what he offered so outweighed what must be done. He chose to be my victor and assured my pardon won. He still came just for me. He still came. Knowing all he would endure, he still came. Disregarding every cost from the manger to the cross, he still came just for me. He still came. Let's sing this together. No palace, no jewels, no kingdom to rule, no crown of majesty. No throne and no robe, no silver, no gold, no courts of royalty. Yet the King of Kings left heaven to become a lowly man. He left all heaven's glory to fulfill his Father's plan. He still came just for me. He still came. Knowing all he would endure, he still came. Disregarding every cost, from the manger to the cross, he still came just for me. He still came. Do we have the PowerPoint available now? No? It was available. Can you put the words back up? That'll help a little bit. Let's go back to the first verse. Told you we've been up a long time. But I hope this song will resonate with you all day and all year long. No palace, no jewels, no kingdom to rule, no crown of majesty. No throne and no robe, no silver, no gold, no courts of royalty. Yet the King of Kings left heaven to become a lowly man. He left all heaven's glory to fulfill his Father's plan. He still came just for me. He still came. Knowing all he would endure, he still came. Disregarding every cost, from the manger to the cross, he still came just for me. He still came. No family, no friends to help at the end. No out, no substitute. Much pain and much hurt to give love and worth. He bore our sins and grief. Yet the hope of what he offered so outweighed what must be done. He chose to be my victor and assured my pardon won. He still came just for me. He still came. Knowing all he would endure, still came. Disregarding every cost, from the manger to the cross, he still came just for me. He still came. Beautiful. On the second go around with no music. You see, he didn't come just to be born as a baby, did he? From the manger to the cross, disregarding every cost, he still came. to show us His love, to show us the Father, and to save us. How have you responded to His message? It's our hope and prayer that if you have not become a child of God, that you'll render obedience this Christmas morning, that Christ may be your Savior and your Lord. If you believe in Jesus with all your heart that He is the Son of God, having turned from sin and repentance, won't you confess His name before men and be baptized so that your sins can be washed away by His blood? If we have forgotten just how much He loves us and why He came, and if we've been living as if we've forgotten, let's make those changes. Let's start living for Him again because of what He's done for us. If you need the prayers of the church, if you need to obey the gospel this morning, please come right now as we stand and sing.